that on. Okay, cool. So, interesting week, long week, very different. For sure. Lots of different experiences, for sure, this last week.
I'm sure.
And, I know. Peachy was there for the bulk of it. But, you know, well, like, you were there for a lot of stuff this last week. You know what's interesting is, first, we're finishing up, actually, just the series. I think we can finish it tonight. When we started off, we kind of gave it a loose title. Do you want to just stay here?
Please just stay here.
Hold on. Come with me. Right, thank you. So we started a series that was, we loosely titled it The Creative, your Creative Power of the Saints. What's up, man?
Hello.
Hey, welcome.
Sorry.
Hey, you're fine.
Long time. Hello. Hi.
I hear one more voice.
She made me come.
No. I was coming.
Hey, welcome.
He's
saying,
Kabi
said to go and use his room, not
your wife. No, we're okay, unless you guys are too hot in here. Just keep it going.
No,
we're fine. You said that with an inflection in your voice. Okay.
There was. It's hot.
Stop
saying. Today, I mean, you all don't realize because you're that.
But you're disturbing the host. Yeah,
okay. So. No, we're fine. So we're kind of closing out the series now. This is so we started with this thing, a loose title of what we've been going through, called, for lack of a better title, but Creative Power of the Saints. When we began this whole thing, we started looking a little bit of what God has put inside of His people. You know, what God has put inside of every person that is truly exists. What's in their soul, you know, what is, because sometimes we don't realize the value of something. You know, for example, you know, when if I mean, why is a diamond valuable? Why? Well, okay, one, it's rare. Two, people put value on it. Now, if you didn't have any idea or any concept of it, then it's the hardest side. There's some material quality to it as well, that, you know, there's some things that you can do with a diamond you can't do with something else. I mean, nothing is harder than a diamond. But, so there is some reasons that, practical reasons that there is some value to it, scarcity and use, but ultimately people place value on this as well. To the point where people will kill for them, people will, in the world, they'll do a lot of stuff for that. But it's just a rock. You know, ultimately what is it? You know, did you see, I saw this movie one time, this guy gets on this island and he finds there's these massive diamonds all over the place. He's kind of shipwrecked there. And I can't remember the whole plot of it, but like at one point, like these people take him to see this that are living there, and they're like, why do these rocks seem to drive people crazy when they see them? And he like pretends like they don't mean anything, and then he comes back later and he's like just gathering these things up all over the place. And then he just starts taking introspection of himself, and he starts throwing each one into the water, and he's just like, this is my new, you know, this is a house, this is a this, this is a that, and just, you know, it's like, and but just also kind of realizing too, even in himself, you know, what he would do for those. And but we place value on things sometimes. Values and priorities get all screwed up because people are trained that something is not valuable that is valuable, something is valuable that's not valuable. For example, if you had a diamond and only 1 liter of water left, you know, which, and you were in a desert, you know, if you just had a diamond and a liter of water, but because there's an abundance of water and there's scarcity of it, so it's like, but so sometimes it takes almost like a wake up call or a hard situation for us to start to realize, wait, what the value is of something that's been put in us or something that is available to us. And many times I think people don't realize the value of their soul and what God has given them, what every person has inside of them, where and they trade it for something of far less value. They put their soul in the world, they allow the world to capture their soul through their free will, and they get ensnared in the world, and then they also start to miss out from that point too on everything that God intended for a person in the life that they would live. And you know, so when we kind of started this whole series, I love that we talked just even a little bit about how we were made in God's image, you know, in God's likeness. I mean, that we were made just a little bit lower than even God himself, that God used his entire creative ability to make and fashion man and woman. I mean, we are the apex of God's creation. Now, we're fallen in that there was a fall that took place in Adam, and we've talked about, so we've got all kinds of series that have come before that's kind of laid the foundation of that. There was a fall that took place where what you see right now is not the reality that was created. You know, we live in flawed bodies. We live in a fallen world. We live in an illusion. And so that's something that people have struggles coming to grips with for the whole time that they're living here. So they spend their lives, they get wrapped up in the world. Nobody ever clues them in, or people try to keep you from ever understanding what's really going on. So at the end of it, you get people hit midlife crisis, and they're like, well, what have I been doing with my life and all that? And then they, you know, go to the end of their life and they realize, wait a second, everything that I did doesn't mean anything. And then they realize, wait, my life was wasted. You know, all of this stuff, all of the pursuits, everything, it really didn't ever answer any of the real questions. It didn't really ever deal with any of the real, why are you put here? I mean, why are you here in this world? Because it's a real short period of time that everybody's here. I mean, if we're honest about it, it's like, okay. I mean, the truth of the matter is there's not a soul that came into this world that stays in this world. Everybody passes through. So since we're all passing through, it's like, well, one, why do we live like, you know, like this is it, you know, and everybody, I mean, this reality is it, and everybody's so petrified of losing this reality, and then never really dealing with the questions, okay, are you ready to die, you know? And then if you're ready to die, are you ready to live? What's true life? What's true life intended to be? So God has also put things inside of his people that when you connect up with him the way that he intended, they get released in the lives of people. And so the world works very hard to keep that from ever happening. So it works very hard to bind your mind, bind your thoughts, to get you wrapped up with whatever it can, so that at the end of it you never shift into his purpose and design for you. There's a free will component in all of this, in that God made us and fashioned us with free will. So we can choose, we get the opportunity to make choices, and God respects the choices that we make, and we get the consequences of the choices. So a friend of mine in the States who's a pastor, he said, you can choose whatever you want to do, you just can't choose the consequences. So life is like that. You can choose whatever you want. But since life has been made available in God, why not go with that? You know, since true life has been made available in God, why not go with that? So, you know, so tonight, one thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is just, it's a little bit about too, kind of how we get, how the world works to keep us locked in. You know, how, see, alright, imagine everything is interconnected, but if you can separate it out a little bit, imagine that inside of you, you have three unique personalities there. You have your spirit, you have your soul, and you have your flesh. Right? The flesh. Flesh, spirit, and soul. Okay. Outside of Christ, the spirit is dead. It's when the spirit of Christ comes in and quickens your spirit and raises, brings you alive there, that's when that's your spirit's activated. You come alive with him. It's his spirit in you, that's life. The soul is that mind, those thoughts, all of that stuff that's, you know, the way that we always, it's just the thinking that we end up having, that's that part of your person and your being. And then the flesh is the actual, like the car that you're driving around in the whole time you're here. So, I mean, if I was going to put it like this, so it's kind of like maybe three rings like that. So you have your spirit in the center, your soul, your flesh. Okay? So, what happens is the flesh is fallen, right? Is fallen. Because the flesh got corrupted with the fall. So everybody is born into flesh that is messed up. The Bible talks about how no flesh will glory in the presence of God. It talks about how we get new bodies when we're united with the Father. So this, the car that we're driving, we do get another car, you know, whenever we leave this place. When the soul and the spirit exit this body, if you're in Christ, you get another one. You know, you get restored. He gives you an eternal, and it's a glorified body. So like Jesus, even too, he when they saw him, he was in a glorified state. You know, there's people that have, so he had a resurrected body. The soul continues on and carries on forever. But you have this, so in fact, in all of your senses are locked into your soul, not to your flesh. So there's people that have had, that when they've had like death experiences and they've come back, they still would, you know, they could see, they could hear, they could feel, they could, in fact, that many of them talk about how those senses are even heightened. You know, they're stronger even. So when they're like, my friend Chandler was talking about, there's one man that they were working with who, he had passed away, or they said, you know, he had died on the operating table, and he was like left his body, and then so he's, you know,
could see himself
outside of his body dead, and he's watching this whole thing going on, and he's out of his body for a period of time watching this whole thing, and then like, you know, he came back to life, and then when that happened, like, you know, he went back into his body. But he saw himself, he saw everything that was going on, he was well aware of all of that stuff that was taking place. So he stepped out of the car for a little bit and then got back in the car. But so your soul and your spirit continue on. There is no it's just, and so what happens is when people pass away, ultimately you just end up going in the direction that you had already chosen while you're alive. You know, people talk about, you know, how, you know, they're like, oh, how can God send people to hell? Well, they already chose to go that way. That's really the choice that they were making. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. So what he is he's a way. He's a direction to the Father. And so if somebody is on that way with him and they're going in that direction, then when they get out of the car, they just keep going in that direction and they had to be with him. If their heart is in the world and they're moving in that direction, then when they get out of the car, they just keep going in the direction of the world and just go deeper and deeper into dimensions of hell. So it's just a directional thing. So again, two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of this world. One is the kingdom of heaven, their spiritual kingdoms. So that's the reality that's going on behind the physical dimension that you see. So for example, if I were to move my fingers, that just didn't happen. It began somewhere. It began with a thought. It began in some place that was intangible and came out into the tangible reality that we're living in. So likewise, the spiritual dimension, there is creative things that are happening in the spiritual dimension that then come out into the natural. So what we see right now in the world is a tremendous clash taking place between the kingdom of this world and the true kingdom of God. And these ones, as they're going forward, the world is doing everything it can to try to hold things together, to try to hold its kingdom together, but it's not going to work. So God is allowing for people to make choices, make decisions, to really set themselves in the direction that they're going, seal that up, and then, you know, they get the repercussions of what it is that they've chosen. So many times when we see things delay, like a judgment delay, we're like, oh gosh, well how can these people, you know, go on with all this wicked stuff that they're doing? God is being merciful many times to give people time to get right with him. So like when Abraham and these guys, God talked about places where the sins of the people had not yet come to the full level, and he gave them time, you know, to repent, to get right with him. And then, but when the cup was full, it's like then it gets poured out on them. So it's kind of this thing. God is merciful. It's his creation, his bat, his ball, his playing field. But we all have, but we're playing a part in this. We are used by God as agents of his in this dimension, because right now you have to be in this body, in this world, to be able to be used to affect the reality that's here. So it's part of the requirement to be on the playing field is you need the jersey. You know, so you're wearing the jersey right now. You're in the game. So welcome to the game. So now that you're here and you're in the game, then you're saying, okay, God, what's my role? You know, I mean, if you're on a soccer team, or you're playing American football, or you're playing basketball, different people have different roles. And so part of it is for as God releases us into what he called us and made us to be, it gets clarified in us who we are. Now, each one of us is unique. So each one of us is part of the body, because we're called the body of Christ. Each one of us has unique talents, skills, abilities, giftings that God's put in us. So it's a discovery process that happens when we come into a personal relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, where all of a sudden now it's like, whoa, the light's been switched on, and now, okay, now the Spirit's alive inside of us. God, what you know, many people just want to know right away, you know, what do you want me to do? And oftentimes the first it's a state of being. He just wants you to be. You know, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, John 17:3. So it's like he first wants you just to enjoy connection with him and to build the relationship that he has with you and for you. But from that place of connection, then what happens is the Spirit of God starts showing you, alright, I want, you know, here's what I would have you to do. But it comes out of that faith and that connection and that relationship with him, and not out of here's me doing for God. There's a difference. It won't make sense on the natural level, because on the natural level, like if you look with the natural eyes, two people can do the exact same thing but have completely different motivations. You know, same thing in the spirit. Two people can do say the exact same words, but there will be a spirit behind the same words, and one of them will bring death and the other one will bring life. So the source is more important than the action, because if the spirit behind it is directed by God, then you will see what is created and what is made and what's manifest be something that's for the kingdom. Whereas if the spirit behind it is of the world, you will see you'll see the world. And so now the bizarre thing sometimes for me is that the wheat and the tares grow together, in that we're in the world right now but we're not of it, but God puts us here and he mixes us in every place. It's like we're there and the world is there, and he allows us access, you know, puts us in spots. If you're directed by him, where all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, how did I get into this situation? I mean, this last week for me was, you know, it was fun too, yeah. But it was a very, talk about the world. I mean, it's like, and you know, there's, because I mean, we did this whole involvement with that fashion thing this last week. Lots of spiritual activity going on there, a lot of it. Well, okay. There's with everything that's done. Again, there's a spirit behind it, and it manifests itself. Oh, here. Okay, I'll say one statement, read the text, and then it makes some sense. Okay. What the world seeks to do is, now kind of with this little picture, what the world seeks to do is it seeks to access your soul through your flesh, and by doing so, to bind you deeper and deeper into the world. So it seeks to make cracks in your flesh, and by those things, to get access to your soul and have spiritual access to who you are, so that it can use you, it can spiritual forces can come into you, can work in your being, because you are a spiritual being, and because spirits need a body to work through in this world, so they need human agents to work through. They that's part of what they're looking for. A car to drive to. They want you to get out of the driver's seat, and for them, so they're looking to access you that way. Now, when the accessing takes place, it results in certain manifestations. Again, just because, but keep in mind that we also have this flesh as well that is fallen, so it's kind of default to that. The only way that you can keep from defaulting to the flesh is to have something that's more powerful in you. You can't do it out of self-will. You have to have an empowering that comes from God that keeps you, gives you something stronger than. So you can't avoid that stuff that's there, what you can do is you can have something stronger than it in you that enables you to stand in the midst of everything you're bombarded by around you. And you have to give yourself over to that which is stronger, which is the Spirit of God, and then follow His leading and His guiding and His direction. Okay. Okay, Galatians 5. Have Bibles? You guys trust me to read. Okay, Audrey's got one. You got one? Okay, cool. That works. Okay. Galatians chapter 5. Alright. Okay. Alright. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Okay. So God, when Jesus came into the world, He came to set the captives free. Now, when this letter is being written, it's being written because people that were getting free and that were made free in Christ, all of a sudden the world doesn't want you to truly be free. What it works to do is to make you a slave to the world and to the world system. And anytime somebody begins to get free in any way, shape, or form, the world comes to try to bind you back in. And the illusion of the world is the world promises and offers and the illusion of freedom, but it actually is bondage. And anybody that's spent any time in the world and is honest about it knows that everything in the world binds you to it. Whereas the Spirit of God, it looks like people like, oh gosh, why would you serve God? Because what they've been presented, again, is disinformation about what it truly is. They're told, you know, that that's a bondage. But you're bound to freedom. You're bound to true freedom in Christ Jesus, which is very different than... So the world frees you into bondage. Christ Jesus binds you into freedom. So here, when he's talking, one thing when it just starts out, it's like, all right, people that are getting free, as soon as you start to get free, the whole world will come to try to bind you again in so many different ways. And if it can do it through oppression, if it can do it through making tremendous offers to you that seem like the best things in the world, and people will say, oh gosh, this is, you know, must be God blessing me. But it's really, you know, the world is trying to set you up. Whatever it is, you know, it's like, wait a second. You know, where is this coming from? What's the purpose of this? So that's why we have to put things before the Father, because He'll lead and direct you and show you and navigate you through the minefield of this world, because what you see is not what's really going on. So it's what's behind everything that God knows, and He will steer you through so that you don't step on the landmine. He'll tell you, my analogy for it is like, it's like playing chess. You know, Bobby Fischer recently died, you know, one of the greatest chess minds that ever lived. Imagine you had to sit across from him and you just learned how to play a week ago. You know, it's like you there's no chance for you to win. So that's what you're put in when you're born into this world. You're put into this world saying, okay, you've got a week of practice, now go play this guy. And if you don't win, you lose your soul. But what God does is He hooks you up, gives you an earpiece, and says, okay, rook to b5, pawn to a1, a2, a5, whatever it is. And it's like, and then as He does that, He gives you the moves. You may not even understand everything going on the board, but ultimately in the end, He shows you how to play. And so where most people would get destroyed leaning on their own understanding, because you trust the Father, He takes you through that. So that's why too. All right. So, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 2. Behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Okay. Speaking again about a work of the law. So this is like people are set free in Christ. Now they're telling them, look, you need to do something to physical to be right with God. They're trying to add, yes, you're free in Christ plus this. And that's the thing about so many cults, is that it's usually Jesus plus this, God plus this, you know, Jesus plus tithing, you know, Jesus plus, you know, coming to every Friday service. Because if you miss one, you're going to hell. Yeah. I mean, it's Jesus plus something. You know, what? No, it's just Jesus. He's, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me and Friday Mass. No, oh, I'm sorry. No, you see, but you see how that works. It's like, it's subtle in that usually it looks like something good. Like here, it looks like something good. Because it's like, yeah, sure, this, but there is nothing in the natural. It's a spiritual thing. Even with Abraham, where even the whole covenant of circumcision came, it was first done by faith. It was first something that was took place in the spirit. He was justified by faith. It wasn't that, that was just a mark that they were using under the old covenant. So there's a new covenant that was made. Okay. Verse 3, for I testify again unto every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be of none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay. Alright, a few things. Alright. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Okay, so again, imagine you have these three. You got the flesh, the soul, and the Spirit, right? Let's do it another way here. Can you see from there? Okay. So when you have to make a decision in life, what happens is your flesh, your spirit, and your soul sit down at a conference table, much like this one. And what happens is the flesh, verse 17, warreth against the spirit, and the spirit warreth against the flesh. So these two are always going to be in conflict with each other. These two will always be going in two different directions. The flesh, by nature, will default to the world, will default to the things of the world. And the Spirit of God that lives in you, the Spirit of God that is in connection with the Father, is going to go that direction, wants to go that direction. But ultimately, the decider at the conference table is your free will, your soul. And so you get the chance to make a decision anytime with your mind, with your will, which way do you want to go? And so that's also why the word instructs us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We're to wash our minds with the word. We are to allow, you know, to put the scriptures in, put those things inside, so that when you need to make a decision, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is a reminder also. But for Him to remind you something, you need to have it there so that He can be remembering it. So put the word in, and then He can bring it back to you when the situation arises. So many times that happens, just like all of a sudden the scripture will just come back in the middle of a situation, something I haven't read for years, you know, where it'll be like some scripture will come back to me that's pertinent to that situation, because the Spirit of God quickens it to me about a decision that needs to be made, where the spirit and the flesh are warring against each other. And I don't want to make a decision based on my flesh, because my decision and my choice is I want to go the way of spirit. The way of spirit is life and peace. The way of the flesh is death and destruction. So I have to make a decision here in the, you know, the trinity of my being, inside of myself, with everything that's coming and going around me at all times. So verse 18 says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay, when you're led of the Spirit, and if the Spirit of God is leading you, now it's like something has happened where you're part of the body of Christ. And if your heart is right with God, and see, this is between you and the Father. Nobody can do this for you. It's between you and Him, where you have surrendered your heart and your life. You're cultivating this relationship with Him through prayer, through the time that you spend in the Word, through just being in His presence, where you're learning His voice. Jesus said, John 10, my sheep know my voice, and they won't follow another. I think that John chapter 10 is like verse 4 through 10. So it's like that my sheep know my voice, they won't follow another. So you know the voice of God. So when that happens, you're able to be led by Him. And the direction that He leads you is the direction where it won't make sense to the world, but it's in a path, one of peace, but also of purpose. And you're allowed to create in that process something that that benefits the kingdom, because the Spirit of God's doing that in you, but also is used by God to help others. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The difference between being led by the Spirit and defaulting to the flesh is, okay, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Okay, each one of these things, he says such like, says like, list goes on. But each one of these things, just stop and think about it for a second. Every one of them is a bondage. Yeah. Every one of them is a bondage. So adultery is a bondage. Fornication is a bondage. Uncleanness is a bondage. Lasciviousness is a bondage. Idolatry. I mean, how many times when people, you know, are involved with something with idols, do they all of a sudden have to try to go to some sastakarya because they have some spirit following them around? You know, and they're trying to get rid of this thing that's following them because of their involvement with some idolatry. Because they're making a decision with their soul to open themselves up to that. And so, because they're of their free will decision, now they're opened up to something that is now... Now, the Spirit of God can set you free, but you have to come clean. So, and it's just... And it's one thing for people to mess up. It's another thing for that to be way. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You stumble. You will make a mistake. When you do, you get up, you keep going in the right direction, you repent, you come right with God. Versus choosing the world, and that's the direction that you're going. Because then you just go deeper and deeper into a bondage. So... witchcraft is a bondage. Hatred, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, think about it. People that just have nothing but hate in their heart, is there any freedom in their lives whatsoever? In any way, I mean, it's killing them. What was it? Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, the kingdom of God is what? It's a natural kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. So when the kingdom of God is one that's in spirit, and those that get locked into the world and the carnal world and the illusion get locked into a place where they can't access that. That's not there for them. So they can't access what it is that God has for them. And they've chosen another path. They've chosen another way. And there is a truth of the word is that you reap what you sow. So everything there as well, it comes back to you. So Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." So all of this stuff kills. And it kills at a rate. So some of the stuff we were around for, like now you're asking, you know, like what? Some of the stuff we were around this last week, you know, it puts some serious mileage, you know, on people. So they were trying to guess my age, and I think the reason that they were guessing young is just because the lifestyle there ages some of these other guys really fast, you know. And so, but the world seeks to access you through your flesh. And so you have to, it's important because what happens is it's important that you have to come clean with God. And this happens just in honesty before Him, you and Him. You don't do it, you don't need somebody else to do it for you. It's just you and Him. You lock yourself away somewhere and you say, "Father, this is me. You know, this is where I'm at. I'm broken and I can't do anything on my own, and I just need you to help me. You know, will you save me? Will you help me? Will you show me the way out of this? Will you heal me?" And from that, from that honesty, He can work with that. He's close to the humble, but He knows the proud from afar off. You know, people that need their religious whatever, and keep them at a distance, they don't receive that. They just stay with all of this stuff. They have a polished surface, but inside there's nothing there. It's just dead. So what God desires to do with you is He wants to, when the Spirit of Christ comes into you, He wants to, first of all, quicken you, bring you to life. Then He wants to also seal up all of these access points that are in your flesh. Because we get pretty well broken living in the world, you know, and the longer that somebody is you know, in the world, the more that just like they just get smashed and crashed. And but if they come to the Father and they come to Him straight, He's able to activate them, and then He's able to heal every one of those places in their heart. And it's beautiful when you meet somebody that's actually just really taking Him at His word. Because with a person like that, what happens is that everything that was a weakness, God's able to turn it into a place where His life flows through that into the lives of others. And so some people that I know that have just incredible gifts have, if you knew their stories, you would be amazed. But you don't usually, they'll tell you their story if there's a purpose behind it, but it's like, you know, it's they've been through their own personal hells while they've been living here as well. So but God wants to heal His people. He wants to seal them unto Himself, and then He wants to lead and direct their lives. So, but then with the direction that He would give, it'll be one led by the Spirit. So Enoka, what you will get will be different than Andrew, what you get will be different than Audrey, what you get will be different than what I get, than Peachy, than anybody. It's anyone that's in the body, we get different leadings, different directions, because we're plugged into a spiritual kingdom. We're plugged into the kingdom of heaven, and God is the head, who is Christ Jesus, will give each of us instruction. And with those instruction that He gives, He'll also activate us and empower the gifts that are in us by what He's given us, so that it accomplishes the purposes that He's designed for us. Does that make sense? So, but it's just this coming to Him and just getting straight with Him. But also, we have to make some deliberate choices, again with our free will, to allow for the building up of our spirit. So for example, like before you guys came, we were talking about just like diet and nutrition and all that. Your spirit is similar in that Jesus said man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You have to feed your spirit. Because when you feed your spirit becomes stronger. So what does the spirit eat? He doesn't eat rice. You know? The spirit eats the word. The spirit lives on Jesus. Jesus said, you know, look, He's like, my flesh is real meat, my blood is real drink. It's like, you know, we live on Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. So we live on the spiritual manna which God has given us daily, which is Christ Jesus. So it's up to us to, of our free will, make a decision to feed on Him and to receive Him into ourselves every moment of every day. And there's some deliberate things, some practical things you can do that, okay, one practical thing that I remember, some friends helped me out at the start of all this stuff, was just to say, look, just if you get up at 7 in the morning usually, just get up at 6:40. And I said, just read a chapter in the morning and set aside 15 minutes where you just spend it with God. And you can pray, You know, you can just pray about things that are going on and just talk to him, because God wants to spend that time with you. He wants, and I actually, when I started doing that, I actually had a timer, you know, because it was really hard for me to pray. Like, I mean, so it was like, you know, it was like, okay, so I set an alarm just so that I'd spend that time praying. Now, I know it's like training wheels or something, but but as like, you know, my spiritual appetite also started to grow, and as being consistent with that was really what started to make just a difference then in how the rest of everything else that I was around and I was facing was happening. So like, as I began to be consistent with just spending time with him and reading his word, even if it was just a little bit, but it started to strengthen me spiritually, where all of a sudden now, situations that I was facing, things that were coming my way, what I couldn't stand against before, now I could, because my spirit was stronger. Because it was feeding on the word. And so out of that spiritual nutrition that I was getting, the spiritual man that's inside of me was getting stronger. So as that happens, then it's like, now you want a little bit more, you know, and now God can start exercising you a little bit, you know, exercising your spirit a little bit, where it's like, okay, now here's some tough stuff that will start coming against you, and let's see now the building up of your spiritual muscles, if you were, you know, when you kind of go through some stuff. Now, when you're walking with the Father, it strengthens you. And so that's why it's too, it's also, it says in James, to consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint. It's when you go through stuff, as you're walking with the Father, it'll make you stronger. And Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. So everything that would seem like it's something bad and horrible, God can use that and will use that. You know, mistakes, whatever it is, things in your past, things that go on today, this very day, something horrible that happens 5 minutes ago, God can turn that around and use that for His purposes, for something that it works together for the good of those that love God. And He can be glorified through that and in that if somebody's walking with Him. And sometimes it's very hard for people to see or to understand, because they're like, how can God make something good out of this? But the truth is, I've seen Him do it. And many times it's for the benefit of somebody else. So, like... He will, like, for example, if somebody's had an abusive background, when they come to Christ and God heals them and sets them free, all of a sudden now there's like this power even in their life that's activated by Him to minister to other people that are in the exact same situation. And He uses that, so He heals a person. He will take the pain out of, he heals them of the pain of that. They still know something happened to them. He heals them of the pain of that. But then also, what happens is, so it's like, it doesn't, you know, crush them like it did before. But then He's able to then take that and now utilize their life to minister to people in a similar situation. So He uses people, He uses the very thing that was intended to destroy somebody, to flips it around and uses it to heal people and to destroy the spiritual kingdom of the enemy. So it's actually pretty cool what God can do with somebody when, that's just one area, you know, like somebody's been bankrupt. You know, it's like, or whatever lessons that they've gone through, anything like that, God can turn it around and He's a God who restores. You know, He's a restoring God. So, and you know, there's also a place too to just say that, like, He makes things better than what they were even before. Like with Adam, for example, what we have available now in Christ is better than what Adam had. Because in Christ now, in the second Adam, we're seated in heavenly places. We have access to something very amazing in Christ. So God, when He restores, He doesn't just kind of put things back to sort of how they were before, maybe. He actually is able to take it and make it even better than what it was before. So, but that's his way of doing things, because he's cool like that. So it's our place is to just say, okay, Lord, here it is. This life is yours. Do with it as you would. I belong to you. I'm yours. You lead, you direct, you guide. And just let him do that. So, but the world, what it'll do is, if you start on that path, everything that you, it will do everything it can to keep you from going that direction. So, the worries, the riches, the pleasures of this world are what choke out the seed and make it unfruitful. You know, it'll do everything it can to keep you from going in that direction, to get you wrapped back up into the world. So this is where you have to let the Spirit of God lead you. And He can lead you sometimes into some bizarre stuff. You know, or he can, you know, sometimes give you some bizarre assignments. Or sometimes you just say, look, stay away from things. Now this is where also too it's different for each of us, because what my struggle is may be different than what yours is. What your area of weakness is may be very different than your friend's. Because of all of us have different paths, different experiences. Some things are universal. You know, some stuff is like, look, everybody just, you know, God will quicken you, stay away. There's nothing good that comes out of it. This is not for you. Other things, just because of where we come from or what our background is, like for one person it's like, look, for you this is no good. For you, yeah, you're all right, you know. So, and this is also partly of how He will use us and send us. Because for some people, He'll put you in situations where you can minister to people. Some people, God gives them wealth because it doesn't get stuck with them. So He knows He can trust somebody with it. He puts it in their care because they'll be a good steward with it. Whereas somebody else, if they had the same thing, it would corrupt them. It's not in the right place with them. And so it's like, it's the blessing of God that they don't have it. But they don't see it like that because they want it so that they, so it's, you know, it's really just saying, okay, Lord, you are the one that, you know what I need. And if you trust Him with that, you know that He'll take care of those things. But for each person as well, it's like you have to let Him set the parameters for your life. And sometimes some things will just be for a season as well. So like, He might just for some time, for your own strength and development, say, okay, you know, take a break from this, or don't do this, or... So there's all kinds of things like in Scripture where, like different fasts that people did, you know, and they did them unto the Lord, or different directions that God would send people. And so that's, again, something that He would do, like Daniel, you know, was one where, you know, he just kind of cut certain things out of his life, because God just kind of put it on him to do it. So, but with all of this, it's to help you in the direction that the Spirit of God is leading you. So each person is individual. But the way that you also receive that is directly from Him. So you don't get that from somebody else. It'll be a witness the Spirit of God does in your own heart. So so if God puts you on something like that, you let Him speak that to you. Yeah, and kind of when He speaks, I've noticed there's just kind of like this, it just stays with you, you know? It's like, okay, I know I need to do this. similar experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you feel bad if you remember that you haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible.
But
it's something you haven't dreamed of.
Yeah, because it's working in your mind and you haven't done it and you know you're supposed to do it. And
And you know, also too, sometimes this can also be part of our prayer, is we're just like, God, you know, give me a heart to obey you quickly, and an assurance that it's really you speaking to me. And see, that's one thing for me, is I just want to make sure that I have that clarity, that it really is Him, that I know that I know that I know that's His voice speaking to me, and not a creation of my own mind or my own thoughts, because I know that my soul will say something to me as well. You know, where that may not be necessarily, because you know the world will train you a certain way as well, and you have to, those thoughts have to be brought in subjection to the Word. So, you know, I've gotten confused a few times, you know, but it's part of that process of learning as well. But see, here's something that's kind of cool too. Even if your heart is really set for the will of the Father, if you really are seeking His will with all of your heart and you are seeking to go in the direction He has for you, even if you mess up, you mess up trying to follow Him. And He knows that. So it's like, even if I mess up, like, God, I messed up trying to follow you. I messed up really trying to do what it is that I thought you were. And He works something out of that even too. So it's just, we just keep going back to this place where we're constantly seeking Him. So gosh, time goes fast. So the world is still seeking to access the soul that's inside of you. Realize that what God has put in you has far more value than anything the world can offer you. So Jesus spoke about, when He talked about it, because He's truth, when He talked about it, says, what is the profit of man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? So the value of one soul is worth more than the entire world and everything in it. So your soul, what you walk around with, talk about the diamond. I mean, it's like the soul that you have in you is worth more than all the gold, all the diamonds, every plane, every house, every piece of land and real estate that this world has ever, could have, ever will have. Your soul is worth more than all of that. And every natural kingdom that's ever been in the history of this world, it's worth more than all of that. And you walk around with that every day. So realize that you have incredible value and that the world is seeking to steal that. So if you didn't know the value of what you have, I mean, how many people have, there's like stories of, like, you know, people buying, you know, a Rembrandt painting for, like, you know, $100 at a garage sale, you know, and it was like, you know, underneath, yeah, because the person there didn't know what they had. So you know, realize what you have in you is of immeasurable value, and realize the game the world is playing to try to get that from you, to try to access that in your life. So we make free will decisions. The best thing a person can ever do, the best decision they can ever make, is to receive the gift of God, which is salvation in Christ Jesus, to be set free from, to be free from their sins, to be washed of every stupid thing they've ever done, and to be forgiven. And then from that place of forgiveness and repentance is basically is turning. You know, you're turning and going in another direction. So you were going south, now you turn the car around and now you're going north. You're going in the opposite direction of all of that stuff. And as you're going in that direction is just to let God constantly lead and guide and direct your life as you're going on a way with Christ. And as you're going on that way, what He does is He continues to build you up, to strengthen you, to bring you to a place where now you can stand. And then, not just stand, but now you can run. You know, and you're able to run the race that's in front of you. And each step that you take is one of faith where the Spirit of God is showing it to you. So So God will use the lives of every person that is walking with Him like that to do amazing, crazy things. And it's all part of what He's doing. And the world may judge it in whatever the way that it does. The religious world will certainly pass judgment on it, because it's, again, something that's very different. There's the religions of the world, another part of the world. It's another part of bondage. God calls us to walk with Him. He calls us to walk in spirit. If they're going in that direction, great, we can move together. If they're not going in that direction, you got to leave them where they are. But we, our heart, our desire, our motivation is to live in the freedom that Christ has set us free. And in that freedom, God will use your life to create the part and the role that you play while we're here. When we're done, then we move on into what God has for us in the next stage. So, stop there. But, thoughts, questions, concerns?
Yeah.
There are
two things that I can
take from this. What are those two?
One thing that I can really stuck in my mind, that one thing about choices that we make.
Yeah.
Is that the consequence is something that we can't define, or we don't have a control over.
Yeah.
So we need to keep that in mind. And also the fact that spirit is one that goes one way, and the flesh is one way. At the end of the day, the addition is your soul. So really figure out where your value is and where you can actually measure your value to God. And that is something that you need to think about.
Yeah. And putting the word in will strengthen your soul to make the right decision. So as you put the word of God in, you're feeding your soul with something that can be brought back to you when it's time to make a decision. It's time to make a choice, so that you make choices in line with the things that will bring good consequences in your life. So for me, I love to sow good seed, because if I can sow good seed, if I reap what I sow, you know, then what will come back to me, if I'm constantly sowing things that are in line with the Spirit of God, it'll be good stuff. So, just being smart. Time goes fast. Let me just read one last quick scripture really quick, and then we'll close in prayer. Matthew 16. Yeah, Matthew 16. Because the other part of Galatians was that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thoughtfulness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. That's the character and the nature of God that is manifest in us as we walk in the Spirit. Okay. Matthew 16, verse 6 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000, of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye did not understand that I spake? It is not to you concerning bread that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Okay. Two sides to the same coin. Again, another form of bondage that seeks to work itself into your life. So one is you have the world and all the stuff that's going on in the world, and you know, here's the works of the flesh, and they're manifest in this. And so what happens is people are like, okay, they come to this realization, it's evil and it's wrong, and we need to make a break from it and all of this stuff. And then they flip the coin over and they go to the other side, which is, okay, now here is your lists of do's and don'ts, the law now placed on you, where if you can do all of this stuff, you will be able to be made right with God by the law. And that doesn't work either. And it's always some man standing between you and God telling you whether you're measuring up or not. So, two sides to the same bondage. What we do is we come right with the Father in Christ Jesus, and He shows you individually, yes, no, left, right, off limits, sure, go for it, have a great time. And you trust Him in that. And allow Him to be the one to build you up in that place and in those areas. And beware, because there's always somebody that will try to bring you into the bondage again in the world. And God has not made us for that. He's made us to live free. So, one final thought there. Yeah. Okay, let's just pray and close it out. Andrew's madly taking notes over there. But we were made to, we were designed with purpose. So God didn't just save us to save us. He saved us also for a purpose and a reason. My friend who's a banker, he said God wants a return on his investment. You know, and because it cost him the highest price, I mean, he paid the absolute highest price possible for us. In the end, he did it because he also expects value out of the investment that he made. So he realizes the value that's in us, the value that we were made with. He gives up his life, sheds his blood so that we can be saved. And so he expects out of that also a return on his investment. So it is not a small thing at all for us to give him of our free will the lives and every day and every moment that we would spend on the earth from now on throughout just to him, because he bought it, he paid for it. So, and yeah, so he wants value for his investment. Okay.